NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by your Ford dealer, the place you gotta go to see what's going on. Now with the news, Lou Wood.
Mickey Mantle announced today that he's retiring as an active player after 18 seasons with the New York Yankees. Mantle, who is 37 years old, made the official announcement in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the Yankees' spring training camp. He said he just couldn't play anymore, mainly because of leg trouble. Mantle's lifetime batting average with the Yankees was .298, and he hit 536 home runs in his career, putting him behind Babe Ruth and Willie Mays. Launch crews at Cape Kennedy have been given the go-ahead to continue preparations for sending the Apollo 9 flight off on Monday morning. Astronaut David Scott is over his cold. His crewmates, James McDivitt and Russell Schweikert, are reported much improved today. NBC News will cover the launch of Apollo 9 live on both radio and television Monday, March 3rd. Former astronaut John Glenn said today he's considering running for the United States Senate in 1970. Glenn, 47 and a retired Marine Corps colonel, said he has been approached by a number of friends to make the race in Ohio, but he is far from a final decision. Efforts continue to prevent more oil leakage from wells off the shores of Southern California. A report now from Gary Thompson, station KTMS, Santa Barbara.
Interior Department experts and Union Oil Company personnel have successfully halted the flow of oil from a second ruptured well at the platform off the coast of Santa Barbara. However, pollution continues to seep into the coastal waters from sands on the ocean floor at a rate of 4,000 gallons per day. The second well to rupture early this week created a new oil slick 3 miles long. This was added to pollution from the original spill, which has fouled beaches along a 90-mile stretch of California coastline. The new flow was finally halted this morning when workmen were successful in forcing heavy drilling mud to the bottom of the hole. This stopped the movement of petroleum from the lower strata. That which is now seeping into the water is from shallow sands that have been saturated with oil. The company is now preparing to resume attempts to pump oil from these shallow sands to relieve the pressure and stop the seepage altogether. This is Gary Thompson in Santa Barbara.
More news after this from Ford.
This is Van Patrick at the Daytona 500, where Ford has just taken 3 out of the first 4 places. And with me is the happy winner of the most exciting Daytona 500 in history, Leroy Yarbrough. Leroy, how did your Torino Cobra handle?
Well, right now I just can't say enough about the way the car handled today. Cobra is probably the most streamlined car anyone's producing nowadays. It's a real winner.
The car didn't give you any trouble throughout the race, did it?
This Ford engine just fabulous. It was amazing for me that an engine could endure so much punishment and still go 500 miles like this.
What about Leroy Yarbrough? Now, what kind of a car do you drive?
There's not much doubt about that. My wife and I both drive Fords.
Congratulations again, Leroy. 50 specially modified cars started, only 28 finished, and you won it all. Now I know why you made the switch to Ford.
They just got a better idea.
Once again, Lou Wood.
President Nixon's second day of talks with French President Charles de Gaulle were said to be cordial, informative, and candid. That was the report from White House News Secretary Ronald Ziegler after the two leaders conferred for 6 hours at the Grand Trianon Palace in Versailles, just outside of Paris. Ziegler said Nixon had invited de Gaulle to come to Washington when he can for another round of discussions. Mr. Nixon met later with a number of private French citizens at the American Embassy to discuss a number of leading world problems, while anti-American demonstrations continued in another area of the French capital. Tomorrow, Nixon and de Gaulle meet once more, and then Nixon flies to Rome for a visit with Pope Paul before returning to the United States. West German Chancellor Kurt Kiesinger warned the Soviet Union today that any interference with the flow of industrial goods from West Berlin to West Germany would be a serious violation of Western rights. The communists have recently stepped up their objections to coming West German presidential elections in West Berlin by imposing travel restrictions through the eastern sector. More in a moment.
NASCAR racing champ Davey Pearson took a close look at the Fairlane two-door hardtop offered with popular options during your Ford dealer's pop option sale.
I think they have some good deals on that. They come out with the dual racing mirrors and Lux wheel cover, even the racing strap. I like that low price you can get it at.
How about you? There's a Fairlane all decked out with Ford's most popular options at a special low package price during the pop option sale at your Ford dealers, the place you gotta go to see what's going on.
The latest report on General Eisenhower says he is in very weak condition from pneumonia that struck him as he recovered from surgery and a series of heart attacks. Up to 15 inches of snow has hit parts of Virginia and North Carolina as a new winter storm is working its way up the East Coast. A heavy snow watch is in effect for a wide area, and forecasters say the storm could reach the New York region by tomorrow morning. Once again, the hour's top story, Mickey Mantle announced today that he's retiring as an active player after 18 seasons with the New York Yankees. He said he just couldn't play anymore. Lou Wood, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News. This is Monitor 69 with music to warm your ears by Light My Fire. Joe Garagiola, and this is Monitor 69, your friendly weekend companion. In just a moment, Bob Considine has a report on the other war in Vietnam. But first, though, a new Jimmy Webb song, Love Years Coming by The Match.
I can feel the love is coming. makes it right. Always hearty, robust, deep down good. Always the champagne of bottled beer. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee.
Next, on the line with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
A relatively obscure story out of Hanoi the other day to the effect that the Viet Cong have every right in the world to continue their assaults in South Vietnam illuminates the complexity of this war and the difficulties of stopping it. I'll be back with some details. Now, here's something to remember from Mutual of Omaha.
What do you do when your pay ain't there? Where do you go in the open air? There's gotta be a way to protect it all. Gotta be a place if the snow should fall.
All of us depend on our paychecks, don't we? But what would happen if your paycheck stopped coming in? Would it mean giving up all you've worked to build? Not if you have paycheck protection from Mutual of Omaha. If sickness or accident keeps you from working, Mutual of Omaha can send you an emergency paycheck every month till you're back on the job. And you will keep getting this tax-free cash for as long as you need it, even for life, whether you're laid up in the hospital or at home. You can get this really different paycheck protection only from the man from Mutual of Omaha. You'll find him right in your own community, ready to serve you. Call him today. There are wars within wars in Vietnam. There's the war being waged by North Vietnamese regular army forces against the Saigon government and its allies, including us. That broke out in 1965. Then there's the much older war between the Viet Cong and the South Vietnamese government. Red propagandists have frequently declared that this is pure and simple civil war, with the common folks of South Vietnam rebelling against corruption in high places. But it's not nearly as simple as that. It is a war that could not have lasted nearly this long without the aid of the third party, North Vietnam, and the materiel aid of still other parties, notably Red China and the Soviet Union. Now Hanoi implies that while it might conceivably be inhibited by the bombing halt against targets in the north, there's no reason why its allies, the Viet Cong, all South Vietnamese, should not keep punching away at such activities as the mounting attacks on the cities and U.S. bases within South Vietnam. I've heard some South Vietnamese officials, and U.S. military leaders for that matter, say it is theoretically possible that there could be a separate truce signed between Hanoi and Saigon and us, but that the war would then continue. It would then be a war between Saigon and the South Vietnamese Viet Cong, pretty much as it was from about 1956 to 65. That was a kind of Indian warfare fought with relatively light weaponry and such medieval devices as poison-tipped bamboo shoots and rusty nails easily capable of piercing a soldier's sandals. There were no B-52s and things like that. It was the kind of war that was being waged in 1963, when I first went there, when the total U.S. commitment was 17,000 men, all called advisors. President Diem, who was murdered just after that, was convinced that those advisors, all 17,000 of them, would not be needed after December 31st, 1964. The Viet Cong have lost countless thousands of men since then. Other thousands of them have accepted the open arms program and come over to the government side. These have been given jobs, land, houses, and deferment from being drafted into the government's military forces. But the others still fight, still attack, sometimes with the tenacity of the Japanese in their defense of the Pacific Islands in World War II. It was the Viet Cong, not more seasoned North Vietnam troops, who stormed a U.S. Marine position this past week, carrying charges of TNT clutched to their chests, and blew themselves to bits. Some of these VC are 14 and 15 years old. The expectation is that they'll be fighting Saigon and Saigon's assorted allies for some time after the ink is dry on a peace pact with Hanoi. This is Bob Considine for Monitor. Now let's hear from Mutual of Omaha.
What do you do when your pay ain't there? Where do you go in the open air? There's gotta be a way to protect it all. Gotta be a place if the snow should fall.
We all depend on our paychecks, but what if your paycheck stops?
If you have paycheck protection from Mutual of Omaha, we can send you a paycheck every month if you're sick and out of work, up to $1,000 a month. Count on Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
On the Line with Bob Considine will be brought to you again tomorrow by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
The most obvious symbols of today's affluent society are the outdoor barbecue and the sports car. The most incongruous is the rat. According to the 1960 census, more than 4 million urban dwellings were completely dilapidated. 3 million more were badly deteriorated. And another 2 million had serious code violations or were overcrowded. If building codes were enforced, most ghetto buildings would be boarded up. During the 1930s, we saved the farms from starvation. Now the cities need help before they die of neglect. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder.
Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Urban America, Box 6087, Washington, D.C.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Patty Page has a love song for us.
Listen for the love song. Listen for the love song. If you think your chance for love is growing slim, you'll be all alone some night when lights are dim.
Sports special for you. As you may or may not have heard, Mickey Mantle announced his retirement from baseball today after 18 years as a player, the third leading home run hitter of all time. Now, Mickey said he has no current plans to remain with the Yankee organization, and we have Mickey Mantle on the Monitor open line right now, so we're going to ask him about the decision. Mickey, how you doing?
Hello, Joe. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
You kind of shook us up here with the announcement. Was it kind of a sudden one?
Well, I've been thinking about it, you know, all winter, and actually for the last two or three years, and I think probably I should have quit about 3 years ago before I started having all these bad years, but I've been kind of dreading to start trying it again after last year. You know, I hit 237 or something like that, and I didn't help the team very much, so... When I got in last night, well, I talked to Ralph Houck on the phone for about an hour, and then this morning I met and had breakfast with Mike Burke, and all together we just kind of felt like it was about time that I give somebody that could do a little better job a chance.
Now, Mickey, you're one of those ball players. Just by sitting on the bench, you help a ball club. Was there any one thing that happened, maybe that golf tournament where you were walking around and your legs started to hurt some more, or was it just something you were going to do from the end of last season?
No, I came down here with all my luggage and everything, my wife and everything, just like I always had, and I didn't know for sure if I was going to try it again or not. I wanted to work out a couple of weeks and see how I felt, but the more I thought about it, the less I thought I was going to enjoy it, and really, I just really feel like that I couldn't do myself or the team either one any good anymore, and the Yankee team is not one that needs somebody sitting around on the bench cheerleading. They need somebody who can go out and do a job, and I just feel like I can't do it anymore.
What happens to Mickey Mantle now?
Well, I have two businesses. I have the Mickey Mantle Country Cooking. It's a food franchise operation. Then I have Mickey Mantle Men's Shops, which is a clothing store operation, franchise clothing stores across the country, and I have to go to the opening of every one of them. I think we've sold something like 45 of the country cooking stores already this year, so I'm going to be very busy all summer going to these openings.
You keep it up, you're going to be doing commercials on network radio. Hey, listen, Mick, Whitey Ford bought a hockey team. You're not going to come back as a defenseman, are you?
I had a telegram from him here at the press conference. He said, nice going. He said, you know that he announced the same, he had a press conference the same exact time as we did. And he said, nice going. He said, you should have retired long ago, and then we wouldn't have had this conflict in time.
Well, I know when we got the announcement, I was just wondering whether he was going to be a little bit upset because you announced at the same time. Mickey, we wish you a lot of good luck. It came as a little bit of a surprise. It's a day we all know is going to happen, but good luck in whatever you're doing. Come see us.
Okay, Joe, I'll be up there for long. Tell everybody in New York how much I appreciate the way they took me in, and I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Mickey, we sure will, and baseball will miss you. Don't you think we won't?
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Okay, Mac.
Bye.
And that was a Monitor special sports report on the retirement of Mickey Mantle, and right on the open line. Right now, we're going to go to Broadway. Monitor's Mr. First Nighter reports on a tiger, a play without words, and a bomb. Here is Len Probst.
A fine new play, one that's fully absorbing and so exciting it makes you forget you're in the theater, a tough play that doesn't stop short when dealing with a person or a problem but keeps going deeper and deeper, is a rare thing. Such a play opened this week on Broadway. It's called Does a Tiger Wear a Necktie? It was written by Don Peterson, and it deals with juvenile drug addicts and unfolds in a series of violent, honest, and realistic case histories at a rehabilitation center. The drama rings true during the first two acts, but turns somewhat hollow in the last. Yet it is a beautiful play and beautifully done. As for the title, I take it to mean it's as easy for a tiger to wear a necktie as it is for a hardcore addict to reform. As for the stars, they're listed as Harold Holbrook, the sympathetic classroom teacher, and David Opatashu as the psychiatrist who follows a narrow line. He treats his job as just that, a job, and offers expertise in place of getting deeply involved with the addicts. The real star of the play, however, is Al Pacino. He's incredibly resourceful on stage and immensely powerful. He plays a hardcore addict, alternately ugly and sympathetic, sometimes a wise poet, other times a revengeful sadist. Pacino plays the role of a man who is clearly worth saving, but one who is not going to be saved, at least not by today's society or by its rehabilitation centers. There were two other openings on Broadway. The National Theater of the Deaf, which has toured the country for the past 2 years, opened for the first time on Broadway. Its technique works, and it works well. The performances are by deaf actors using sign language, while two narrators read out the storyline. It's handsomely done, but now that the company has proved it's not just a gimmick, it's time to come up with plays that make a contribution to the theater, plays that go beyond mere technique. And finally, a new comedy about a screenwriter in Los Angeles called But Seriously, to which the critics said, But No. That's the box score for the week. A solid hit, an interesting play, and one that doesn't come off. This is Leonard Probst, NBC News New York, and that's it from Broadway.
Well, the critics were obviously right. But Seriously opened Thursday and closes tonight. Hey, that's poetry. Showbiz, too, I guess. Now for all you do-it-yourselfers, here's a Monitor tip. Now, to keep March winds from blowing the flower pots off your porch rail, drive 3-inch nails into the railing and push your flower pots down over the nail, forcing it into the hole at the bottom. Here it comes. Now, I want you to be ready for this. You see, we don't want any flying mums out there, do we? Okay, here's a tip for the lady of the house now. Are those little repair jobs piling up because the king of the ranch is too busy and he doesn't want you using his tools? Well, then, you stop in wherever tools are sold, and you buy a Vice Grip locking wrench for your very own. Now, that's Vice Grip. It's the tool that looks like a pliers with a bolt in its right leg. See, it's a wrench, wire cutter, nail puller, vise clamp. It locks on tight, yet releases with the flick of a finger. It does even more jobs than the old-fashioned hairpin. Vice Grip Junior, just one of seven models, is perfect for you. It's easy to use. It's small. It's only 5 inches long. And lightweight, it's just 5 ounces. It's an entire tool kit in just one tool, and it costs less than $4. Buy the one that has Vice Grip stamped right on the tool and do it yourself. And chances are you can get the job done in time to meet the girls on the first tee. Manfredo Festin Misturada, folk in Huntington, West Virginia, heard it on WSAZ. I'm Joe Garagiola, and we'll be back shortly.
From the Telephone Hour with exclusive performances from the opera and concert stage. Tomorrow night on most of these NBC stations. This is Jack Hayes. All I said was, I like a radio station that gives you everything. Movie music, late news, fun contests, and nice people. And boy, did I get told where to go.
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you find the nicest people. Jack Hayes, weekdays, noon to 3.
Hi, this is Charlie Brown. Are you looking for work? Well, meet your competition, high school graduates. They make up 7 out of 10 people applying for jobs. Now, just imagine you were an employer. Who would you hire? Someone who quit school or one of them? The moral? If you're in school, stay there. If you quit, go now to your state employment service or youth opportunity center. Find out how to get more training. You'll need it. Remember the competition you're up against.
Spend the night with Long John Nebel and his friends. You'll find a new day has dawned. Midnight to 5 a.m. on WNBC Radio 660, New York.
This is Jim Iyer, WNBC News. It's 4:30, 37 degrees in New York and cloudy. A major storm continues to intensify along the Carolina coast. Heavy snow is falling over areas of North Carolina and Virginia and threatens to move into the metropolitan New York area. In its latest advisory issued at 4 p.m., the local Weather Bureau said there currently is some doubt as to the exact path and intensity of the storm. Thus, the amount of snow to be expected in the New York City area is also in doubt. But, adds the Weather Bureau, there is still a sufficient threat of a fall of over 4 inches in the metropolitan area late tonight and tomorrow. The Weather Bureau said another advisory will be issued at 9:30 tonight. By that time, the Bureau said, clearer indications on the intensity of the storm are expected to be known. The leading candidates for the governorship of New Jersey have sharply criticized the Rutgers University administration, and they hint that University President Mason Gross should be fired. Representative Charles Sandman says the people are indignant and dismayed that the seizure of Rutgers' Newark branch campus building was tolerated by school officials. The building was occupied for 3 days by black militant students who relinquished their seizure only after their demands were met. The state Senate president, Frank McDermott, another candidate for governor, termed the Rutgers accord with militant students abject surrender. The New Jersey legislature controls the purse strings over Rutgers, a state university. Slugger Mickey Mantle has announced his retirement from baseball after 18 major league seasons. He made the announcement this afternoon at the New York Yankee training camp at Fort Lauderdale, Florida. In recent seasons, the 37-year-old Mantle has been bothered by ailing legs. Mantle has hit 536 career home runs, which puts him third on the all-time list behind Babe Ruth and Willie Mays. His high was 54 homers. That was in 1961. Elsewhere in the news, the Nixon de Gaulle conferences in Paris wound up today. Officials said the atmosphere was good, and Mr. Nixon invited the French president to visit Washington. President Nixon's helicopter arrival plan at the Vatican tomorrow has been changed. He's to land in St. Peter's Square instead of on a secluded Vatican City spot. The latest communist offensive in South Vietnam has cost more than 300 American lives in the first week. It's the highest weekly total in 6 months. And at Cape Kennedy, all looks in readiness for a Monday morning launch of Apollo 9. WNBC Radio and TV will provide live coverage. New Jersey Senator Clifford Case said today the Defense Department has agreed to consider letting civilian planes share McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey. And police have removed about 40 hippies from a Staten Island ferry boat after they reportedly threatened an incident on the high seas. The hippies refused to leave the boat after riding to the island and back to Manhattan several times. They declared they intended to take over the boat and conduct a love-in. The police met the boat as it docked at Manhattan South Ferry and removed the beaded and bearded would-be pirates. In college basketball, at halftime, it's all tied up 37-37 in that game between Fordham and NYU. The forecast, a heavy snow watch, remains in effect for tonight and tomorrow. Mostly cloudy this afternoon, a highest 35-40. Cloudy tonight, snow likely late tonight and continuing Sunday. Accumulations may exceed 4 inches. Lowest tonight, about 30. Highest Sunday, 30-35. Precipitation probability remains at 70% for tonight and tomorrow. And winds are expected to increase during the night, probably reaching 40 miles an hour or higher by tomorrow morning. Right now it's 37 degrees and cloudy in New York. The top story, of course, the storm continues to intensify along the Carolina coast. North Carolina has already received 15 inches of snow. Heavy snow is falling over areas of North Carolina and Virginia, threatens to move into the metropolitan New York area. In its latest advisory at 4 p.m., the local Weather Bureau said there currently is some doubt as to the exact path and intensity of that storm. You're advised to stay tuned for later advisories. Jim Iyer, WNBC News. Now back to Monitor.
Winter brings ice and snow.
Monitor warms your heart, makes you glow.
Cause I found you. Gonna build a new world around.
the association saying goodbye, Columbus, but don't you think of leaving. We've got a lot more Monitor music, news, and sports for you. And in just a moment on Monitor, a report on the end of a famous trial.
Hello, Hangar 6. You say you need a tune-up. Ma'am, this is an airport. You sure you don't want a gas station? Your husband's car has a turbine jet engine. Uh-huh. Wings, too? No, four-wheel drive. I see. Sounds more like the STP turbo car Andy What's-His-Name races at the Indy 500. Granatelli, excuse me. Sure, I've heard of the race's edge. STP, oil treatment. Uh-huh. Makes any car run smoother, cooler, quieter, longer. Okay, Mrs. Granatelli, bring it over. We'll see what we can do. Hey, Charlie, you won't believe this, but Miss... Hangar 6. No, Mrs. Granatelli, we don't take credit cards.
STP is the race's edge.
One of the most controversial trials in our country's history is over. The verdict is in. A report now by Charles Quinn, NBC News, New Orleans.
Clay Shaw's two-year ordeal is over. The trial itself lasted a little more than 3 weeks. The jury took a little less than an hour to reach its verdict. That Clay Shaw is innocent of District Attorney Jim Garrison's charge that Shaw conspired to kill President Kennedy. When the verdict was announced, there was a collective gasp from the courtroom, a short burst of applause. Some women shrieked, some in joy, others in disappointment. Shaw was on his feet, his eyes glistening with tears, and he shook the hands of the jurors as they filed out. Garrison was not in the courtroom. He said later he would not hold a news conference today because he was tired of television networks calling him flamboyant. 2 years ago, Garrison said he had solved the assassination of John F. Kennedy. But his case against Shaw was almost as much a case against the Warren Commission and its findings that Lee Harvey Oswald was alone in killing President Kennedy. Garrison called the Warren Commission report a fraud, and during the trial, he spent many days trying to prove it. Defense lawyer F. Irvin Diamond said in his closing remarks last night that the Warren Commission was not a perfect document, but that its members had discharged their duties well, and that as an American citizen, he could not believe the federal government was guilty of one giant fraud. But Diamond also pointed out that an acquittal of Shaw would not constitute a stamp of approval for the Warren Commission. So while the verdict in the Clay Shaw trial will probably not end some of the doubts about the Warren Commission finding, it will probably reduce them, because Garrison was striking against the Warren Commission as much as against Clay Shaw, and he lost. Charles Quinn, NBC News, New Orleans.
The Classics Four and Traces.
Faded photographs, covered now with lines and creases. Tickets torn in half, memories in bits and pieces. Traces of love long ago that didn't work out right. Traces of love, ribbons. Souvenirs.
Most kids live in cities. So do most rats. Our cities need help, your help. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder. For more information, write Urban America, Box 6087, Washington, D.C. Now, that address again, Urban America, Box 6087, Washington, D.C. And while you're writing, stay with us right here on the Monitor Beacon.
We love you truly.
Mr. Rupert, thanks for ignoring the 10 burglary safeguards. You make it easy for us. Mr. Parisi, thank you for leaving your lights off. We hope you spent your vacation in as nice a place as we spent your money. Support your local burglar. Why should he work as hard as you?
Operation Safe City.
This is Nancy Sinatra. All I said was, the best thing about New York is Charlie Brown. And boy, did I get told where to go.
This is The Place, WNBC Radio 660, where you can hear me, Charlie Brown, weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. WNBC Radio 660, New York.
Bobby Goldsboro's glad she's a woman, and boy, that seems like a good arrangement.
As she sits by the window, she's busy with work, but her mind isn't on what she's doing. She thinks back to morning, the feeling she had, and she's glad she's a woman.
Sir, the calendar may say that spring is almost here, but somebody forgot to tell the weatherman. Here's the forecast. More snow is the bad news for the East Coast. A major storm's underway along the Carolina coast, and a heavy snow watch is in effect from northern Virginia to Connecticut. And that includes the metropolitan areas of New York City, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington. And that really chokes me up. The forecast is for scattered showers and snow from Montana and Wyoming to the Pacific, and the rest of the country gets generally fair skies.
Keeping your windshield crystal clear during stormy weather is no longer the simple squeegee operation that it was years ago. The large curved windshields on today's cars present a complex engineering problem. That is, to keep even pressure on every inch of the large area being cleared away by the windshield wiper. The Anderson Company of Gary, Indiana, makers of Anco windshield wiper blades, refills, and arms, have perfected the wiper blade to wipe a clear pattern on every modern windshield under all conditions. The Anco push-button refillable blades are available for cars with a hidden or regular wipers, or the kind used on foreign cars. The big, bright yellow Anco windshield wiper service cabinet is visible in service stations all over America. And that's the place to have your streaking blades replaced or refilled with genuine Anco wiper blades or refills. The serviceman can do this for you in seconds. It's a good place to buy gas, too.
One of those songs by one of those groups, the Flugel Knights. Is over and baseball spring training gets underway officially today, although the biggest news is the retirement of Mickey Mantle after 18 years as a Yankee. Mantle retired and made the announcement today. Hope you had a chance to listen to the interview we had with him. But with spring training starting, the Monitor staff thought it'd be a great idea to check with the fans to find out if the national pastime is still as popular as ever. So, Monitor took an informal survey at the University of Wisconsin this week, and here are some of the answers to our question, how do you feel about baseball?
I liked it a lot when I was younger, but it's not as interesting to me right now.
I can't stand it.
It's a dying sport. You know, just can't keep up with the other sports in terms of action and excitement and this sort of thing.
I think it's a bore to watch and a worse bore to play.
I really have no interest in it anymore because there's so many other things that, well, especially in sports, that have a little more life to it, a little more action. And baseball is just doesn't seem to be as valuable, even as a spectator sport, as something, say, hockey, where you can, let your attention focus onto it better, I think.
The game is definitely too uninteresting. So until baseball does something, you know, to increase the fan appeal, to do something to make the game a little bit more exciting, it's going to eventually, you know, just fade out, I think.
I prefer soccer.
Are you joking? With all the things going on politically and everything, you're asking about baseball?
You guys kidding me? They must be putting me on. I tell you what, then, they get rid of those beads and get some bubblegum cards, they'd be better off. Oh, boy, they can't all hate it. What a job they did. Or candy, I don't know. Well, I tell you what, we're going to check with more fans in other cities throughout the weekend, and I'm going to be listening, I'll tell you that. Here's more news from the campus, though, on College Poll with Bill Ryan. And, Bill, I hope they treat you better than they treated me.
Most of the student protests, demonstrations, and in some cases riots in school last year were directed against college involvement in national defense programs. Last year's disturbance at Columbia was based in part on a protest against the university's involvement in a working agreement with the Institute of Defense Analysis, a federal project. A leader of the Columbia disturbances, Mark Rudd, asserted students rejected such projects, that students wanted a voice in college policymaking on participation in them. Was and is Rudd right? Well, that's what College Poll tried to find out when it asked this question. Do you object to your university or college participating in general projects to aid the national defense? 76% of those questioned said no. 22% said yes, while 2% had no opinion or offered none. Among the students objecting to school participation, there was a Stanford senior who said there is too much activity crowding on the campus today. The government should set up separate facilities. A Yale economics major said campuses are for students, not government research. But the majority of those polled was in agreement with a Vassar sophomore who said, the university contains some of our greatest brains. The government has a right to call on anyone it needs to help defend us all. Protests make news, but from what College Poll has been able to determine, more than three-quarters of all students surveyed said they feel their colleges and universities should cooperate with the federal government in defense projects. Mr. Rudd and those who side with him, no matter their rights to object, apparently are not in the mainstream of current college opinion. Bill Ryan, NBC News, for Monmouth.
Well, I wasn't too negative. I still think that baseball survey was loaded, though. Show you I'm not mad, though. Here's Jubilee Joe.
Shapes to come. Sucral, how sweet it is.
I never heard of Sucral.
That's pretty obvious. Want to cut calories? Sucral's the thing. It's America's favorite no-calorie sweetener. Created to taste like sugar, Sucral's formula is actually patented. So get the real thing, Sucral, the sweetener with a patent on good taste.
Montenegro and classical gas. And speaking of things classical, this item in today's news got to be put in that category. Some of the biggest ski resorts in Maine closed down this week. The reason? Too much snow. For more of what's happening in the world, you stay tuned for NBC News on the Hour. My name, Joe Garagiola. Should be